Welcome to the 26th episode of the Board Game OK podcast, a podcast about board games and the hobby of board gaming. Recorded in snowy and way colder than I expected, Helsinki, Finland. I'm your host, Luis, and with me is your co-host, Jonas.
Tervehdys.
In this, what is it, third episode of the 2026?
2026. Hey, we have not met each other in over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is January, end of January, that now that we are recording. I don't know what time is. I don't know at all where we are in the recording schedules. I know when the previous episode was released, it was in the 2026. Yeah. Don't ask me if it was the third, second, or the first episode of 2026.
I'm pretty sure this is the third episode. I'm pretty sure you released the last one like on the 31st of December. So this is probably the third episode. Anyway, welcome to the third or fourth or possibly second episode of 2026. And in this numbered episode of 2026, we are going to talk about the games we are looking forward in 2026.
Are we going to be talking about 26 different games?
We are not going to talk about 26 different games. That would be too much. I don't think I had the capacity, or I don't think there's even 26 games worth talking about at this point. Last time we did this was the second episode of the podcast. It was the very second episode of the podcast. We did the games that we were anticipating in 2025. And that episode was very long because it included some reviews that also, I guess we were doing at that point reviews a little bit longer than we expected. So the game was a little bit, the episode was a little bit long. It was about an hour and a half. So this time we're only going to talk about 10 different games, 5 each, plus potentially some other games worth mentioning at the end. And then that's going to be it. Next episode, we're going to start doing reviews again, as far as I understand from Jonas' schedule. Right, Jonas?
We will review Wingspan.
Yeah.
And Wingspan only.
All right. But then we will continue with our more traditional approach to episodes, perhaps, or perhaps not.
Perhaps.
This is not really a top 10 or in a sort of way. The games are not ordered. At least my games are not ordered in any particular like excitement level. I just have five games that I want to talk about.
I'll order my games in the likelihood of me purchasing the game. Let's put it that way.
Oh, really?
That's going to be my order.
So none of this you have purchased. So there's nothing in crowdfunding. I mean,
I have not hit buy. I have not hit back. Is that what you do? You hit the back.
Yeah, but
on Kickstarter.
If you want a game in 2026, you would have had to hit back
previously.
Months ago, yes.
Yeah, no, I have no outstanding. Is it outstanding?
Yeah.
Is that what you go? I have no outstanding campaigns at the moment.
Okay.
I have a clean slate.
Okay. Yeah. And are you participating in this weird competition that you like participated for Board Game Barrage podcast where you are not supposed to buy games?
I am not participating in that contest anymore.
You already lost.
No, I mean, I know I'm going to lose it. I didn't participate in last year either because I knew I'm going to lose immediately.
I thought you had participated last year.
No, I
didn't.
That
you even had to put a review. Was that 2 years ago?
That I even had to a review?
What? Write a review for the Board Game Barrage podcast.
Yes, that is true. That did not happen during our recording or when we started the show. That would have been a very difficult situation for me to try to host a board game podcast and at the same time not buy any board games to talk about.
That is true. But as I've said before, sometimes you surprise me.
Yeah. But hey, I can tell you about the contest. So the idea of the Board Game Barrage contest is that starting from 1st of January, you do not buy any games. And who lasts the longest wins. I don't think there's usually any winners though.
No,
everybody. There's too many winners every year. That's the big problem. And then it just fizzles out because there isn't really a clear criteria of like, okay, well, who of these actually won? Is there the biggest winner? Is it a shared victory? Does it continue? Does the race continue? You know, is the 2024 contest still ongoing if you still haven't bought a game?
Yeah, it compounds. Like for all of those people that didn't buy, now they're participating in the new different competition.
You know, they might be in three contests at the same time.
And they're
ongoing from 2024?
Yeah.
Ongoing from 2025 and now starting in 2026.
I think you could not even consider them board gamers anymore. They might not even be playing board games anymore.
No, I think they are playing plenty. They are playing plenty. And trading is still allowed, for example. Yeah, I did it in 2024. I think I lasted, I don't know if I lasted until the first half, the first 6 months. But you know what? I wasn't the one who got me out of the contest.
I know, I know.
Chilla got me out of the contest.
Yeah.
Because the people who live with you, those people are not allowed to buy board games either.
What if we had a fantasy collection that was not in our house? And I like it was hosted in the in your office, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I am buying games that you're enjoying constantly.
That is allowed.
That is allowed?
We don't live together. That collection is not in my house. I'm not spending money. That would be perfectly allowed.
All right. Interesting.
I'll tell you a little bit about my experiences with that context. Yeah. I think it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I do think that many people, when they get into the hobby, there is that period when you start to add games to your collection. And then there, it's so fun to research different mm-hmm. games. But at some point, you realize that, well, there's more games than I have the room for,
yeah.
or I have the money for, or I have the time for.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this big problem of like, well, how many games should I have?
Mm-hmm.
Should I buy this game or this game? And at the same time, you're still kind of getting, you know, enjoyment out of like buying a new game and just constantly experiencing new games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole contest was like a really great way of just not thinking about that stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I can't buy any games, so I don't need to even think about whether I should buy this game or not.
Yeah, yeah. That was around the time where you were saying, yeah, my collection is never going to grow bigger than 50 games.
Exactly.
All right. I was just asking to see like, hey, maybe if you kickstarted all of those five games, then you could still win that competition, right? If you kickstarted a game that doesn't count.
That definitely counts as buying.
No, but I mean like if you kickstarted a game in 2025 and it arrives in 2026.
That is allowed.
Yeah, exactly. So but that
you have
doesn't
to also,
count.
You have to list the games that you have actually kickstarted in 2025. Because otherwise, you're cheating. You know? You have to like disclose.
Yeah, of course.
Or well, you're not necessarily cheating. It's just you might be cheating.
Yeah, but the whole point of like, that conversation.
Oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to say that I had this Puerto Rico special edition coming in. I backed it, you know, in 2025. I did.
Yeah. Well, why do you have it already? It hasn't delivered to backers any. Like, it's just delivering to backers in the United States now. Huh. And you'll be like, oh, well, yeah, okay. I got it from whatever. All right. But you're going to try to put them in order of how likely are you to buy them?
Yes.
That is why I was asking. Like, how likely are they to get you out of that competition? Mm-hmm. But you're not in that competition. Therefore, it does not matter.
Yep. And I guess I should order them specifically so that the first one is I'm least likeliest to purchase.
Yeah.
The first, then the last one that I mentioned. That's the most likeliest to be purchased.
Yeah, yeah. So it's 5-1, basically, you're saying.
5-1.
Yes. All right, Jonas, do you want to start off this list?
Yes, but I just have to think a little bit about the order. Yeah, I have my first game here. And by the way, all of these games that I have here on the list are specifically for our gaming group.
Okay, this is not for Chilla.
Not for Chilla. No, 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 no. So just, you know, our gaming group. And therefore, I will also kind of elicit some opinions from you whether you think you are going to be interested in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, of course, possibly influence my purchasing decision. The very first game on my list that I'm actually the least likeliest to buy,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still kind of, I can totally see myself buying this. And that is the new version of Container from 2007.
You mean like the old play version, the one that they just kickstarted last year or something like that?
Yeah, I missed the Kickstarter campaign. I wanted to kickstart it, but then I procrastinated about it. It's so weird to use the word procrastinate on a Kickstarter campaign because I think it's kind of like maybe the best type of procrastination to just save your money. But in any case, I missed the Kickstarter campaign because it was like such a short campaign. But I'm hoping it to also be available in retail, which I'm sure it will be, as many all-play games are. So Container, originally released in 2007,
mm-hmm.
notoriously out of print.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of Container Jumbo edition at some point, which just seemed like a weird production, also went out of print. But now, yes, a new version of Container coming out. The idea of Container is that it's this simulation of a market where players are moving containers of goods, I'm assuming, between, I think, to the same island or something. the whole thing being like a closed economy, meaning that however much stuff you're able to move, that's going to influence the general demand of the market, if I remember correctly, and how much just like money in general is going to be flowing in the economy. Now, the thing that kind of like got me interested in this game is that apparently it's also like a very fragile market simulation, meaning that, hey, if you're playing in this like little sandbox with your container ships and you plan badly, you're going to have a bad time and you're likely going to mess up the whole economy around the table as well, which to some might sound like a bad time, but to me, that sounds like a very fun time. It's a simulation. Hey, let's make this market crash.
I'm losing. Okay, then let's say, let's flood the market with black boxes.
Yeah.
Or with green boxes. No, but it's going to crash the economy.
So have you heard about Container before?
I have heard about Container. Box art puts me off so much.
Oh, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the new box art?
Yeah. I don't like it at all.
Oh, you are... Hey, listeners, I'm with you. Louis is talking out of his rear end here.
What are you talking about? Like, it's just a weird ship full of containers in like almost exclusively primary colors. It's just like, it looks what? Okay, now to be honest, like now that I see the bottom of the box, now that I open the bottom of the box looks cool, but the main big container ship that is there in the front, it's just like, just looks, what? What is this?
I think it symbolizes the simplicity of the game, meaning that the game itself has very little rules overhead, I'm assuming, but it still builds this, you know, functioning ecosystem or non-functioning, depending on your level of skills.
Yeah, but I've heard about it, but I honestly didn't know anything about it until now you started talking about it. And I opened the BGG page. It looks fun. I mean, looks interesting. Everything you said about the game is like, I would play it. I would not love the art, but yeah, I would play it.
I think once you open the box, you won't see a lot of the art anymore. You know, it's just some container ships, some warehouses, some spots to drop your containers, but it's so small in terms of its production. No, not small. What's the word? Spartan? Do I want to use the word Spartan to describe container?
I don't know.
This is from the BGG page. The rules for Container are simple. The real challenge is understanding and timing the market. Players build machines, warehouses, and containers, then sail your containers to the island and auction them off. Be careful with your money. In the closed economy, money's tight and your opponents are cutthroat. That actually didn't say anything about or didn't provide me the right adjective to describe the scope of the game. But I hope you get the idea, dear listener.
It's a Spartan game.
It's a Spartan game.
Container is a Spartan game. That should be the description. That should be in the box.
A Spartan game.
Yes. If we become famous one day, they might put it in the box. A Spartan game. Jonas from Board Game OK.
Game with very little. Jonas.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Definitely buy.
Definitely buy.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. My first game. It's a game called The Mix. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a game where you are a mixologist trying to serve people in a bar.
Cocktails. Is this the guy who makes the cocktails?
Yes.
Mixologist.
Mixologist is the guy who makes the cocktails. So mixology is the art or science of making cocktails.
Yeah, you didn't say art. It's science.
It's actually an art.
It's a hard science.
It's both an art and a science.
Ah.
Because you also can have flares and you can just throw shakers around and like, it's a whole thing, man.
I think that shaker throwing involves physics. So that's, I would still say it's science.
It's both. You have to be an artist of the shake. In any case, this game, completely opposite to Container, has beautiful box art and has beautiful, at least what I've seen in the prototypes and in the crowdfunding page, it has beautiful components. It seems to be a relatively basic kind of resource management, worker placement, engine building game where you're like just, you have workers that you can send to different actions in order to get resources. And then you use these resources to craft a drink, basically. And it has a little bit of a gimmick where you have like this little plastic tube where you can throw like these like discs that are the resources in order to like kind of build them up as if you were like just throwing, if you were actually doing a cocktail at a bar where you're like just putting the layers of the cocktail.
That's hear yourself talking to Matt? Like, I mean, it's a really basic worker placement game.
No. But to be honest, like if you actually see, like I saw a couple of previews.
Uh-huh.
It seems like the weight is 3 out of 5. So it's like not the simplest thing, but it's probably just like, hey, send your worker something somewhere in order to like maybe grab some resources.
Yeah.
Just grab the proper resources to make your drink, make the drink and move on. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. That's it.
Yeah. And are you saying that, you know, in 2026, you really need a game that does this? Are you saying that you are short of these types of games?
No. And that's the only thing that I like puts me off from this game.
That is
probably going to be generic. Yes. I was not going to feature this game in this episode because I was like, maybe not. But at the same time, many of the other games that I ended up investigating afterwards were like, yeah, no. So this one ended up like being like, okay, I really like Cocktails.
Yeah.
The art looks fantastic. It might have something extra, like some extra spice. And if nothing else, the game looks beautiful. So I could replace one of my current games with this one instead. If the game ends up like kind of feeling good to play.
You know? Which game specifically are you thinking at the moment? What's your guess? What game is going to get the boot?
I was thinking about it on the way here. If I could think about, top of my head, think about a comparison. And I just couldn't think about any comparison. Plus, being realistic, I probably won't boot any of my games just yet. Even the games that are only one play, like all of these the deduction games and stuff like that. I don't have the heart to kick them out the door, man. And I still have the space. So I'm like, no, my babies, stay with me. Stay with me. At some point, Mia was going to force me to kick them out. But what game could I compare it to? I know, to be honest, like, I don't know.
Nothing comes to my mind either, except it's just still feels like the most generic worker placement game. I mean, we're putting workers down. We are collecting the resources. We are fulfilling the recipes. Someone gets victory points.
Yes.
And we play 5 rounds.
To be honest, it actually feels more restrictive because it seems that you can only have like kind of one recipe at a time. Yeah. So it's not like Lords of Waterdeep where you can have 50 recipes that you can fulfill at a time.
Wow, people are really innovating here.
So you can have one or two. There's like a part of the engine building, like you can grab these different skills from the table where like those skills matter on the type of cocktail that you're doing. So that might change a bit. I don't know. I'm expecting this to have something that will impress me. It might be that it doesn't. And to be fair, I didn't back it. So I'm not expecting for it to arrive. I might not buy it myself if like I'm going to wait for the reviews. But still, this one is one of the ones that I investigated. And I'm like, yeah, it looks cool. It looks beautiful. Maybe there's something there. I would love to try it out if possible. But I don't think I would buy it unless the reviews start coming and the reviews are good. But it's one of the 5 games I'm looking for in 2026. That is The Mix.
The next game on my list for 2026 is Gold Country. Yeah, it just entered the Kickstarter this week. Okay, Rainer Knizia does Cube Rails. Rainer Knizia has already done Cube Rails. He has also already done Gold Country. It used to be a game called Spectaculum, which was something about circus. And I don't know, I've never looked into it. I wasn't even in the hobby when the game came out, which apparently came out in 2012. It has a 6.6 BGG rating. Not a lot of love for Spectaculum. Now, Rainer Knizia apparently had developed himself this kind of like a new version of Spectaculum, and then got Bytewing Games to release it. Or, you know, putting it to Kickstarter. Bytewing Games has done Zubadis before with Rainer Knizia. Zubadis was this re-implementation of Kobadis, an older game from Rainer Knizia. Gold Country, again, in the same line of taking an old Rainer Knizia game, revamping it, bringing a new version out. I watched a playthrough of Gold Country. Well, watched. It was in the background playing. But I did follow the teach. And I really liked what I saw. It really feels this light Cube Rails game. I have heard a comparison of Gold Country to Paris Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played Paris Connection with me?
I have, yes.
I liked Paris Connection. Now, setting up Paris Connection is a big pain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a big box. I don't want to own Paris Connection. Mm-hmm. It's also not the most interesting game, but it's like a very fun, light Cube Rails game. Gold Country seems to be that, but just have a little bit more excitement with it. There are going to be different tokens on the map that you're going to build your routes towards, and those tokens are going to increase or decrease the stock value of that company that you move there. Then you can buy stocks, you can sell stocks. Mm-hmm. There's other types of tiles that also do different types of effects. It just seems like a really fun time with stocks.
You're right. People are really innovating this year.
I'm not saying this is innovative. I'm just saying that, hey, this is a genre of games I really enjoy. And this seems to be a very solid entry in that genre. It also feels like a game that I can take to the meetup and I can have a fun time with people who do not necessarily want to calculate the chips each player has, which you have to do in games like Irish Gage, for example. Mm-hmm. You need to stay on track. Mm-hmm. What's happening? Gold Country seems to be a bit more looser in that sense, a bit more flexible. You can have a fun time even if you don't get so invested in positions. What's a bad position? What's a good position?
So first of all, I used to get super annoyed when people mentioned Cube Rails games, maybe 5 years ago when I didn't really know what was the real meaning of Cube Rails. So can you please explain to our audience, Jonas, like what does Cube Rails mean?
Yeah, so I would have to do a task no one has ever managed to do. It's so difficult to define Cube Rails because it's like such a large variety of games. Ooh, I have to come up with a definition just now from the top of my mind.
I'm gonna
make many mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make many listeners angry who will disagree with my definition of Cube Rails. Now, I will say that there is no strict definition of Cube Rails, but Cube Rails games tend to have certain characteristics that combine them. First of all, we usually have trains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the Cube Rails comes from. And I guess those trains used to be cubes in
1990s,
cheaper productions.
Yeah.
And that's why you have Cube Rails. In today's fancier editions of Cube Rails games that come, for example, from Capstone Games, those don't have cubes anymore. They have little fancy, little nice wooden trains.
Yeah.
What else about Cube Rails? You're building routes with those trains. There are stocks involved. No player owns, or no player is a particular train company.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you invest in different train companies. If you are now thinking that, hey, wait, is this 18XX?
Mm-hmm.
For example, a game like 1830?
Mm-hmm.
No. These games are much lighter in terms of the financial shenanigans that you can do. The financial instruments are usually limited into buying stocks and selling stocks and then building route. Those are usually the things that you can do. In 18XX, you can do a bunch of other things. And also 18XX games take a very long time to play. Irish Gage, my favorite Cube Rails game, you can play that in under 60 minutes.
Mm. So would you say that Cube Rails is a subgenre of 18XX that is lighter or not at all?
No,
these are different genres?
These are different genres. However, the people who like Cube Rails games tend to also like 18XX games and vice versa.
Yeah.
By the way, it's also like, what's the selling point of Cube Rails, right? Like, why are these games so exciting?
Mm-hmm.
To me, the big thing that excites me about Cube Rails games is that, first of all, they are always highly interactive, but not in this combat sense interactive, as in, I'm going to go hit you and then you're going to hit me or something like that. It's more about thinking, okay, what is my position comparable to other players around the table? How can I make, for example, Lewis's position really bad?
Mm-hmm.
How can I force Simona's hand to do something?
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to find a position where you are strong and others are weak.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the explanation. Because I used to be like, what the hell is a Cube Trail game? Like, I think it's before I had played any Cube Rails games. So I was like, what is it, what they mean? Is that 18XX? Is that like just any train game? Is it cubes? And does it have rails? But yeah, good explanation. And thank you for that, Jonas. So that was the first thing. Second thing, I was going to cover this in the episode, but then I decided against even exploring because A, I had like not limited amount of time. B, I thought that you might actually mention it because it was a Reiner Knizia game. And I'm like, maybe he will mention it. And C, it looked to me that it was more like an hexagonal route building game from Reiner Knizia. It felt like it was a Blue Lagoon-ish or maybe another samurai type of game. I didn't know that it was actually like a Cube Rails type of game. So I was like, yeah, another one of these maybe. And D, I actually have not played any of, besides Subaris, I don't think I have played any of the other Bidewing slash Reiner Knizia games, even though I wanted to play them last year. I didn't, so I was like, okay, maybe I'm not as excited really as I think. Maybe it's just like flashy that it's like Reiner Knizia Bidewing games. But I really, when the time comes to buy them or to play them, I'm like, eh. So those were the former reasons I ended up not covering. But I'm really happy that you did, because now I'm a bit more excited to play these.
But when you said when it comes time to play or buy, for buying, I understand. But have you been ever offered Reiner Knizia game where you said, no, I won't try that one?
No, I haven't. Also, like maybe that was, I misspoke there, because nobody has said like, hey, do you want to play Ego, for example? That was
like, No.
Yeah, exactly. No, nobody has offered. I just haven't had the chance, and nobody has really bought them, I guess. But hopefully this one you will buy, because I'm super excited about it, and then I'll get to play it.
It's only on number 4 position on my list. So feeling very confident about backing this one. Will I end up doing it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see.
But chances are higher than 50%.
But it's just coming into crowdfunding now.
It just came into crowdfunding yesterday. And I'm talking about the time we are recording.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 27th January. That's where it came out to crowdfunding.
So it might be that this either comes out late 2026 or doesn't come out in 2026 at all, I guess.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. I have no idea when it releases.
It says 2026 at least on the BoardGameGeek page, but you know how this is with crowdfunding. Yep. But I think Bidewing tends to be quite fast. They have a very
good track record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That was Gold Country.
All right. I'm cheating a bit with the second pick.
Hey, one more thing I want to say about Gold Country. You know, Kickstarter, you have your different deluxe components.
Yeah.
So the deluxe version of Gold Country has metallic coins.
Of course.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
And it has metallic pants. You know, those pants that you do the gold, what do you do with it?
Gold shuffling, I guess.
Gold shuffling, sieving the gold from the water. So you can put your metallic coins into a pan.
And will it siphon? No.
You can just keep your coins in a pan. I will 100% not get that if I get the game, because I won't listen to you playing with that pan and with that coin.
Hey,
or with
coins. Well, you get what you get, and I play with what I have.
Yeah.
So.
Or I'll get the pans, but only I'm allowed to have a pan.
I won't play that game. I cannot stop myself from fidgeting with stuff.
Okay. So that was Gold Country. Now I won't interrupt you anymore.
Okay. So it's a little bit of a cheat, my second one, because, well, the real number 2 is Ministry of Lost Things, case 2, Finders Keepers. But it's not Finders Keepers, it's Finders Keepers. So
it's not Finders Keepers, it's Finders
Keepers. Keepers.
Like, so
it's
key? Not like,
it's
key.
Like, yeah, like key.
The key that goes into the lock.
Exactly. So it's not like you keep it, it's like you key it. You know, it's like a little play of games. I don't want to spoil the first thing, but if you have played the first case, then you will understand why there's like this kind of...
I thought the designer of Keyflower and Keeper and what are the key games, I thought he had patented the key term.
The key term,
key flow, that's another game. Richard Breeze.
Well, he's not one of the designers of Finders Keepers, so no, he has not patented.
Postquarious is the company that makes Ministry of Lost Things.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think they will get a cease and desist letter from Richard Breeze?
Probably
not. Do not use
my
key.
No, I mean, this has to be a play of games. He cannot have patented that. But who knows?
Key theatrical.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I think he's just like lost it. Maybe he's just like obsessed with keys.
No, he's just leaning in.
I know. But anyway, so this is a Puzzle Tale series, which is like, is the second case. Have you played the case 1? You said,
yes, I have.
Yeah. So this is the case 2. This is the second box in that series, probably more boxes. This one I did back. And I'm cheating a little bit because I am putting here also, what was it? Emerald Echoes, I think, which is like the bigger, like the second, a second game, a separate game. It's like the bigger box. It's like the sequel to the Emerald Flame, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit, not as big as the Emerald Flame as I understand it, but it's a little bit bigger. It's a bit more complex. The story, the narrative is a little bit more intricate than Ministry of Lost Things. Ministry of Lost Things is like a game that is quite fast. You play in maybe a couple of hours, 3 hours, then you're done with it. But it's delightful. I think it's easier to get Mia to play a small game like that than to play one of the bigger games of Rita Orlop. But I'm really excited about both of them. Funny enough, my last three backed Kickstarter campaigns are all kind of puzzle type of games. They're not by Rita Orlop, all of them, but they're like, I'm really getting super
into puzzles.
I mean, I've always been into puzzles. But now you are really into puzzle board games. I think they're super fun. I think Mia also enjoys them quite a lot. So they're really nice activity to share together. It doesn't feel the same as playing a board game, I don't think, but it's like it tickles a different part of your brain. And yes, this company keeps putting out pretty solid, I think, puzzle tales or puzzle boxes that are really enjoyable. And looking forward to case number two.
So that's your number two. And the unofficial number two was
The Emerald Echoes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pick up that case number two from Essen if they have a stand again this year.
Yeah, that's where you pick it up, the first case?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Really well worth your time. Really good games. Super looking forward to. Ministry of Lost Things, case two, Finders Keepers. That was my number two.
I was about to say my number three. We're going this in the opposite order. We will meet. No. We won't meet in three.
Yeah.
We won't even meet at three. Will we meet at three?
Yeah, we will meet at three. Now, true. Right now.
Yes, we're about to meet. We're about to meet. But not yet. I'm arriving to three. I'll see you soon in the three.
Yes.
But on my number three, I have Indonesia, Paisplotter. Released in 2005. Yeah, I know. There's a new version of Indonesia that came out. Again, Indonesia has been out of print. And it has had a lot of production problems. I don't know, not production problems, usability problems. But this is not my first-hand experience. I have never played Indonesia. I don't know exactly what those usability problems are. It's just something people talk about endlessly. How you, if you want to play Indonesia, if you want to have a good time with Indonesia, you need to get your own components. You might want to print out a map, a different map or something like that. But now, Splotter Spellen has finally figured out how to make a good version of Indonesia. And there is a third version. Yes, third edition that came out last year. Yeah, sorry, December 2025. So not even the new version is not a 2026 release. However, I don't still have it. It's also sold out everywhere. But the places where I'm trying to buy it from, they have it as a pre-order. Mm-hmm. Hasn't come into stock yet. I have alarms set up for my email, so when it appears there, I will hit that buy. Indonesia.
So is it so that you're admitting that you didn't do a good enough research to know that this game should not be on this list?
No.
You're giving excuses to put it on the list.
Yes. This is more like I knew that this was not supposed to be on the list if the cops come here and they are going to question me about this. I'm really incriminating myself here.
Yeah.
I am fully self-aware that I am committing a crime here.
Yes.
But give me some slack here because it's 2026. This is a game I'm looking forward to play in 2026, Indonesia. Have you ever heard about Indonesia?
I have never in my life heard about Indonesia. I knew about other Splotter games, but I don't think I've ever heard Indonesia being mentioned there.
Yeah. So many people have fun with Indonesia that I haven't even researched the game that much.
Yeah.
I know there are some markets you are shipping something somewhere. There are logistics involved. And then there are mergers, which I don't even know if that's the exciting part of the game. It's just that last year I played a bit of acquisition and now I'm really excited about mergers. So I'm also looking forward to have some merging fun in Indonesia. But you have not heard about this.
No, like not at all. I've heard about Splotter. I mean, I heard about the country Indonesia, and I've heard about Splotter Spielen, but I heard about Boats and Roads. Roads and Boats.
And
Boss, which we played, and of course, Food Chain Magnate, and the Automobile Factory, I don't remember.
Horseless Carriage. Yeah, and then there's Antiquity. Okay, Antiquity and Roads and Boats, those are the two games I would be most excited about, but those games are not in print. Indonesia is in print, and there are plenty enough of people who put Indonesia higher than food chain magnate and bus that, hey, I'm really interested in this game. I want to experience it.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, honestly, personally, don't buy it.
Why? Why don't you play? Why won't you play Indonesia with me? What is not selling Indonesia to you?
Oh no, like,
I mean, hey, think of, if you think about the track record, do you like Food Chain Magnate?
I think I've complained about Food Chain Magnate as a game in the sense that, like, you have to have those three strategies in order to do good at all, and a game that has that, and after kind of having that, not really having the catch-up mechanism or like the catch-up mechanism, like not really kind of fixing the design, to me, it's like, it's a flawed game. Like a game where the meta of the game has to exist in order for you to do well in the game, in order for you to kind of, and then you have to play. If you don't have that meta, then you have to be willing to play 2-3 times to discover kind of that thing, and everything else will make you not have a good time.
Okay. Before this turns into a Food Chain Magnate review, let me ask this question again in another way. Has Food Chain Magnate, Louis, ever entered in your half a year top 10 lists?
Mm-hmm.
You are on record.
I think it has.
It has, yes. Do you like Bus? Do you appreciate Bus?
I would like to play it again, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Has Splatterspellen ever failed you? Has it produced a gaming experience where you have gone like, well...
In principle, it has. After analyzing my perceptions of a game, it has. But no, in practice, no.
Yeah. So, okay, track record-wise, Indonesia should be a sure shot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if I would tell you that there are Splatter fans? And the reason why so many people like Food Chain Magnate is that, hey, it got some wind, right? It got popular. It means that more people get Food Chain Magnate.
Mm-hmm.
It was in print. So it means that more people are buying it, more people are playing it. Therefore, it has more fans. Now, those people who have explored the catalogs of Splatter, many rank Indonesia higher. Does that not get you excited?
Yeah, kind of. It just feels. I mean, yes, if you buy it, like if we dedicate some time to learn the rules and whatnot, for sure I would play it. But at the same time, I look at it and I know Splatter, so I'm like, okay, it's just going to be like a 1-hour teach, plus on top of that, you would have, in order to do well, then we would have needed to maybe already like watch a 1-hour video about the rules and how it plays and whatnot. And it's just like, I could skip it. Like, I don't need it in my life. But for sure, I would be interested historically as a research. I would for sure would like to play.
Historically as a research, like as like in
as a researching board game historian.
Oh.
As a board game historian that now I have declared myself to be, mm-hmm. I would be interested. Though this is not history anymore because it's a re-implementation. Well, not a re-implementation, a third edition of a game that is no longer historical. It's no longer part of the board game history, it's part of the board game present. So
I don't think I fully understood. Board game present, board game history. When does board game history turn into board game present? Doesn't matter. Indonesia, I'm excited about it. I'm hoping to get a copy, but we'll see if I'll actually get it played. The playing time is 180 to 240 minutes. This is not a short game.
Nope.
And that is the biggest thing that worries me the most.
There's longer games.
There are longer games. Yeah, that's true. There are always longer games. That was Indonesia.
All right. My number three is a game that I backed already over a year ago in 2024. I remember talking about it in the last, anticipated games. But from listening to the episode, I actually don't think I talked about it. I remember putting it on my list, but I didn't talk about it. It's a game called Lords of Heaven. Do you remember me mentioning?
Lords of Heaven. No, I don't remember. I don't have any recollection.
I had put it on my list, but then I think I reconsider it at the very last minute because I'm like, this is not going to come out in 2025. So I reconsidered and I didn't end up mentioning it. Lords of Heaven is...
Oh.
What?
Louis, this is a Phalanx game.
Yes.
Publisher Phalanx.
Is that good or bad?
Let me just say, it's not going to come out in 2026.
It is. Like, there is like production updates and everything.
Sure.
I mean, I do not know. There was actually a couple of Phalanx games that I was thinking about while mentioning here. But I decided to mention just the one that I actually backed, which is Lords of Heaven. I backed it in 2024, Jonas. Not in 2025.
Sure.
In 2024. And the production updates seem to be pretty advanced, at least in the...
Advanced production updates.
I don't know. I mean, I have never actually. I didn't know Phalanx had a bad reputation for board games.
You're about to feel it.
Eh, it's one of those things. I don't really mind. But then, if I had known that, maybe I would have reconsidered it again and wait yet another year to mention it. But hopefully, we'll be proven wrong.
Yeah, and in 2024, I don't think they had a bad reputation yet.
Oh, really?
I think maybe then they were producing a lot of interesting campaigns.
Yeah.
I wonder what's now the total number of outstanding campaigns for Phalanx. Have you checked that?
No, I did not check.
The number might just shock you.
Do you? Okay, tell me.
I don't know.
I know that Triumph, for example, it's a campaign from earlier that people are now receiving or something like that. So, or maybe they're not receiving yet. But a lot of channels were actually talking about Triumph now, like an anticipated game this year.
Yeah.
That's how I learned about Triumph. I knew about Lords of Heaven because I look at the crowdfunding. It looked interesting. The game actually looks like there's some negotiation, area control, card placement. It seems like a really interesting game, at least. So I was like, yeah, this might be the type of game that we really enjoy in our group of friends, actually, in our group of players. It's only for four, which kind of sucks because we're almost never four.
I can't find a number of how many outstanding campaigns, nor am I that interested in finding the exact. Hey, wait, I have a picture here. Mm-hmm. Status of our games, April 2025.
This is almost a year ago.
Almost a year. They might have turned the boat by now. Let's see. We have this stages that start from development.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to graphic design, make games happen. What is it? Crowdfunding, da-da-da. Ends up in available,
mm-hmm.
which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That means you have the game.
No, I think available is like it's available for purchase. It's probably delivered.
There is before available comes shipping. And I'll admit, okay. Shipping and available, they have the same exact games there.
Okay.
Who have reached those stages. In April 2025, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games on this list. Three were completed. So that leaves 11
mm-hmm.
outstanding campaigns in April 2025. But that was April 2025. After that, you know what? It's been smooth sailing for board game companies.
There's not been any problem.
International trade has never been this easy.
All right. Well, okay. That is definitely a game that I will never be playing then. But I guess it's now on the list officially. So that is my number three, Lords of Heaven.
Mine. Oh, I forgot to say hello when we were number three. I was about to say hello, but I'm already going to number two.
It's okay.
Yeah.
See you later.
See you later. Next year. My number two is Stellar Ventures. Have you heard about this game?
Nope.
So I talked about 18XX games earlier. 18XX games, big problem with those games is that they are long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go through this whole process of acquiring an 18XX games, trying to get you all invested in one full day, trying to play the game. You know, figuring it out. I have thrown the idea around with some of my university friends. I have collected one person who is interested in trying out an 18XX game with me. Two people is not enough. We need more players. Okay. Stellar Ventures is a 18XX-like mm-hmm. game set in space, removes some of the mechanics, makes the whole thing just like an under 2 hour game. Very excited. There was City of the Big Shoulders. Have you heard about that one? So that was like another game that tried to take 18XX and make it more of a Eurofight game. Just mm-hmm. change some of the route building mechanics, other things.
Mm-hmm.
Added worker placement there. Just made it a simpler game in general. Mm-hmm. Easier to wrap your head around, maybe. Now, the City of the Big Shoulders, it's still a fairly long game. I played it on Board Game Arena. I really enjoyed my games of it. But now there's Stellar Ventures, and I'm really getting excited about this one. I have heard nothing but good about this game from people who, you know, like this types of games in the first place. So yeah, Stellar Ventures, for sure, I will be backing this. I don't even care if you don't approve my backing here, Louis. You are not my mom.
That is true. You have 19 days. Do not procrastinate on this one.
I won't procrastinate. Plus, except I might end up procrastinating.
Always pledge $1. You know, like you get access to the pledge manager and then you can upgrade your thing. That's what I do when I'm like, I don't know. Or like, I might forget. Then just pledge the $1 and then make sure to remember later. And make sure not to procrastinate in the pledge manager. But again, this is a Kickstarter crowdfunder that is just backing now. And as you say, the international commerce has never been better. So are you sure it's going to fund in 2026?
So I don't know. But with this one, I don't really even care that much. I think
the least cares, Jonas. The least cares. The list is for games that are coming out in 2026 and that you're excited to play in 2026.
This should be coming out in 2026. I am very excited to play this in 2026.
But you don't know, and you are then cheating the list.
So far,
you have had two games that are just backing that you don't know if they're going to come out. One game that came out in 2025, and then just one game that is actually coming in 2026.
Yeah, and that one game that came out in 2025, I might not even be able to acquire a copy.
Okay.
Yeah. But this one, though, hey, you can't give me a hard time on this because, I mean, you're committing the same crime as me. You are putting games that are in the Kickstarter.
Yeah, but the likelihood is like here because it didn't come out just now.
Did we not just go through
I didn't know about the Phalanx thing. You did know about Stellar Ventures being in Kickstarter just now.
Yeah, but it's supposed to come out in 2026. They put it to Kickstarter on the same day as Gold Country, which was Tuesday. I have recently learned that apparently it's good to put the game on Kickstarter on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you want to know why?
Because people have cleared their buffers from Monday?
No, it's because people say so. People say, put the game on Tuesday.
Which people?
You know, the people. Who know about this stuff.
Yeah, but then why do people say...
Don't ask questions. Just put the game on Kickstarter on a Tuesday.
It's probably open rates of mailing lists.
Maybe.
Just people say...
Don't ask questions.
I'm not going to ask questions. Okay, put it on Tuesday. Always. Mm-hmm. Put it on Tuesday. If we ever create a game... Tuesday. Even if that's outdated information.
Yeah.
It's like, we know that it's Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the one thing we need to get right.
The only thing we need to get right. All right.
The rest will take care of itself.
The rest will take care of itself. My next...
Oh, yeah. And that was Stellar Adventures. Please go ahead.
My next game number four for me, even though, again, they're not in order, but Jonas made this about the numbers, so now I'm putting a specific number. Is number four is the Glasgow Train Robbery. Have you heard about the Glasgow Train Robbery?
The event or the game?
Well, there is an event.
Neither.
But, well.
That's my answer.
The Glasgow Train Robbery is an event. One of the only forums on this BGG page says, like, you shouldn't make fun of this game. You shouldn't make a game about this because it was a terrible event. I mean, that's neither here nor there, but like, I was disappointed that there was not that much information. The rule book was there and I spent some time skimming through it. Why I'm excited about this game. I'm not particularly excited about the Glasgow Train Robbery as a concept, but it is a cooperative train heist game or a cooperative game for two players. And that's what excites me. It's like, okay, a game designed specifically for it to be cooperative and amongst two players, that hits the sweet spot where maybe Mia would like to enjoy it instead of being a competitive two-player game. In this game, you are trying to commit the Glasgow Train Robbery. There seems to be like card placement, card activation, but also limited communication. So it's like, seems to be somehow a deduction game, but also like action, like you have to play your actions right from it. Like there's one person that is on the house, kind of that is directing and being the kind of the coordinator, and one person that is the operator, which is like kind of on the train. And there's like, it's asymmetric. One player has different abilities that they can do, and the other player has the other ones. And they have to kind of, with limited communication, with like simple words, they have to kind of let each other know what they should be doing. And I don't think they can see what the other person is seeing. So there's also like limited information. And all of that sounds pretty interesting. There's also like, supposedly, of course, every game would say this, there's a lot of variability and a lot of replayability because there's so many.
There are 200 variation of
yeah,
game
200
states,
events. yeah. And to be honest, when I opened the
And by the way, that's not from the BGG page. That's just a number we came up with.
I saw the rule book and the art looks really nice. It's a salt and pepper game. I think they do pretty good for solo gaming and for art. I enjoy their games. They have been doing pretty, like really well in Essen in the last, I think the last 3 years that I've been there, every time they absolutely sold out.
Yeah, the salt and pepper games, the art sometimes it's a little too millennials flat for me. This is a new term I've learned. I love the term because it describes my hate against
millennials.
Flat design and hate against myself. My self-loathing very well. So I love the millennials flat term. But I do think the salt and pepper games have a very nice, consistent theme throughout, or like a consistent art direction throughout their games. It's not the same art, but you can always see that, this is a salt and pepper game.
Yeah. And everything that is said about the game sounds makes me interested about it. It's another one of those games that I will probably wait until the actual reviews start coming out.
Okay. Here's the hard question.
But
so did this? When did this?
No. You're gonna say something.
There's like too many questions coming out from my mouth at the same time. So question number one: did this game come out in 2025?
No, 2026.
Has this game come out?
No.
So how do you know you will be able to play this game in
2026? Because as far as I know, and I didn't particularly investigate this deeply to know for sure, I don't think this came out in crowdfunding. I think this is just advertised as a game that will come out in like Essen or something like that.
That doesn't mean it's going to come out. Like it, just
the rule book is finished.
Uh-huh.
So like, what else do you want? Like when the
rule book is... Maybe print the games.
Yeah,
maybe ship
course.
Them.
But if the rule book is finished, then the game is likely going to come out.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I don't think rule books
have
is
you
the
ever,
thing that's...
Have you ever heard of a salt and pepper game announced at Essen that has not come at Essen full force?
I don't keep a tally. I wouldn't be surprised.
I will tell you.
Because,
zero games.
Okay.
Zero games of salt and pepper have ever failed us.
Because in every Essen, there are those couple of games that, it didn't really reach their production timeline. And that can happen for big companies as well. Big established, trusted publishers.
Hey, yeah,
but this doesn't matter. I'm just being a stickler about this new weird rule that we are having about 100% guarantee that the game is gonna come out in 2026.
It's not about
publisher.
If not about 100% guarantees, like likelihood, and you broke the likelihood by choosing two games for a game that came out in 2025 and two games that are just kickstarting now.
Yeah, but they're supposed to be shipping in 2026. Bytewing has a good track record.
That doesn't happen.
That's a phalanx backer speaking there.
Or a cool mini or not backer speak. Do you know how many like campaigns they have?
Oh, let's not open that can of worms. Are we committing liable at the moment?
No.
Is this one of those things where the companies can send us an angry email and say, hey, you better retract what you have been saying
about our beautiful company,
our great financial forecasts.
Wait, we haven't said anything about the financial
forecast. We have not said, we are. And I'll just say this now. Phalanx Games has shipped games. There's for sure, you can still back confidently.
Yeah, you can back more games. The late pledges are open now in GamePound.
Yeah. Yes. Contact your retailer to see if they are stocking any Phalanx games or Cool Mini or Not games.
Hey, Cool Mini or Not for sure, but Phalanx. Mm. Okay, but that was my number four, the Glasgow Train Robbery by Salt and Pepper Games.
That one I'm excited to play with you, although you're getting it for you and Mia, which I guess is fine. My number one game fails the test of, did it get released in 2026? But it passes the test of, is this possible with 100% certainty for me to play in 2026 as long as I'm able to acquire a copy? It passes that test.
Okay.
We're talking about Cross Bronx Expressway.
Okay.
You're giving me weird eyes.
Yeah.
I talked about Cross Bronx Expressway in our
gaming group,
and you said that, oh, looks interesting.
Yes,
I'll look
yes.
into it. Because I was trying to feel out the mood in the group by asking, hey, is anyone interested in this game? If I get it, will you play it with me? Because, okay, Cross Bronx Expressway is a game from the Irregular Conflicts series, which is the new spin-off from the coin games that we have talked about. We talked about All Bridges Burning last year. We talked about how there's so many rules in the game and you have no idea what you're doing in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
ICS, or the Irregular Conflict series, is supposed to be this lighter thing compared to coin. I have played plenty of Vijayanagara online. I really like that game. It's not in print at the moment. At some point, they might do a reprint, but it doesn't have enough pre-orders in their P500 system, GMT Games, which, by the way, is the publisher. Cross Bronx Expressway is the latest game in this ICS series.
Mm-hmm.
It has received some negative reviews, but every negative review or comment I read mentions how it's too much like a coin game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a negative for me.
No.
Yeah. So that's why I'm still excited to play Cross Bronx Expressway. How about you? Oh, by the way, this is supposed to be less lengthy,
mm-hmm.
but don't expect too much. It's supposed to be rules light compared to a coin game, but mm-hmm. don't expect too much. My understanding is that Vijayanagara is still kind of the lighter, leaner, and maybe even meaner game compared to Cross Bronx Expressway.
Hmm.
And what is this game even about? There is something about the development of Bronx. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know the history of Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is the story that the game is going to tell. But it's just like an interesting space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Urban development. Hey, that happens all around the world.
So it's more about, bureaucratic fighting rather than actual war fighting.
So no war fighting. I don't know how much bureaucracy is going to be involved, but yes, it's not going to be military factions clashing against each other. I think the factions are...
Community?
Public. Community and private.
Mm, so they're like organizations in a way.
I don't know if there's so much organizations. It's just kind of the... So the game... What is the game with the monkey in the cover, in the space? The monkey in the space.
Ah.
Yeah.
Station Fall.
Station Fall. Nice. So Station Fall, it has the term... I think the term is in the game is called a conspiracy, which kind of represents you are playing a conspiracy.
Okay.
Because you're not playing any one character. Anyone. Mm. It's not that, hey, I am this character.
Mm-hmm.
You can influence multiple characters. And I think Cross Bronx Expressway has the same sense of that, well, you are a kind of a conspiracy
mm-hmm.
of public or private or community. I know it sounds weird. Like, what is a conspiracy of community? I don't mean that there's a mastermind in cloaks gathering mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. making secret plans. It's just this thing that emerges as multiple organizations, multiple people
mm-hmm.
end up making decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wave.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that's the wave of community.
But
that's a wave of private.
But I mean, at least I'm looking at the art here.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's just like, hey, you are whatever you want to call it, private conspiracy. But still, it's just you having your little pillars that you put on the board.
Yeah. The coin, hexagon,
yeah.
cylinder.
Yeah.
That's still there. Of course, yeah, you have your own pieces. You're not like...
Because in Station Fall, I think mm-hmm. you have different characters.
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So and they do different things.
Yes. So I'm not saying that in Cross Bronx Expressway, you're going to be playing other people's players. No, no, no. You have your own faction. It's just that I don't think in Cross Bronx Expressway, you can kind of draw the line around your faction to say that, oh, in real life, my faction represents this organization. Mm.
Got it.
I mean, if you would
part
make
of society, guy, it's like hegemony in a way, where you have like the private.
Yeah, I think that's maybe like a better comparison in terms of these factions. Yeah, hegemony. You have your middle class, your working class in it, and then your capitalists,
mm-hmm.
and then the government. Government mm-hmm. is easy to point out that okay, those are the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to point out who is government, who is not government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you specifically say who are middle class and who are the decision makers of the middle class? No, you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
It gets very murky, but you can still kind of play the middle class, and you can get the sense of, well, who are you in a way representing?
Yeah. And we have never talked about hegemony in the game, in the podcast. So people that are not that familiar with heavier games, that might be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, but it is in BGT Top 100. I think there's plenty of people who know about hegemony. So are you playing Cross Bronx Expressway with me?
Yeah, the box looks super interesting. I would definitely play this game. I've been wanting to play A Jest of Robin Hood. I guess the only main reason why I haven't tried it or why I haven't explored it more is like, that's only for two people, right?
Yes, this one is only for three people.
Yes, it's like the Old Bridges Burning is a coin game. And this is not a coin game. This is an ICS game.
Yes, correct? But I don't know.
That feels like a coin game, according to the...
Yeah, and Vijayanagara, I mean, the DNA of coin is there.
Yeah.
And if Vijayanagara had been released as a coin game, I would assume people would not have been clutching their pearls and saying, oh, this is not a coin game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They might have said that, oh, wow, this is a really light coin game. The ICS, I think it's just branding for TMT to kind of help maybe to direct consumers to say that, oh, this is coin. This is something that's, we're trying to do something different than coin here.
I love that. It's like, you say that it's lighter and it's 3.43 out of 5 weight game.
Uh-huh.
And Old Bridges Burning, which is a coin game, is 3.63. So like 0.20 apparently is like the difference between an ICS and a coin game.
Yeah, but then there is this thing about war game weight on BGG. War game weight of 3.5 is 4.5 in normal BGG standards.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's interesting. We could talk about it another time.
I don't think we can talk that much about it, or at least not me. I'm just voicing out clever commentary made by other people.
Got it.
I don't know that much about war games, historic war games to be exact. Oh yeah, one additional kind of twist to Cross Bronx Expressway is that it is a cooperative game in the sense that we can all lose together. But there is still only one winner if we end up not losing.
Like all like Cthulhu Wars.
What?
In Cthulhu Wars, humanity can win. Or, right? Like everybody
can
lose.
Yeah, that's true. In Cthulhu Wars, yes, it can be that everyone loses and humanity wins. Although that tension is not really felt in that game. It's more about whether Mr. Cthulhu is going to win.
Yeah, that is true.
Or is someone else going to win. No, but here I guess it's a little bit more felt, more present, this constant threat of everyone losing. So that is Cross Bronx Expressway.
My fifth game, or the last game that I want to talk about, it's a game that... I had completely forgotten that it exists, but I had seen many, many times because it's a game that is designed by Jarrod Carmichael. I don't know if you heard. It's the voice and the face of 3-Minute Board Games, a YouTube channel. Have you ever heard of 3-Minute Board Game?
Yes. Is this...
It's a New Zealand, the Kiwi guy, I think.
Yeah.
The game is Shadow Moon Syndicates.
Oh, because I thought you were going to say, because he made a coin game. Last year?
Red Dust Rebellion.
And then I was about to hit you with that bat of, hey, 2025.
Yeah, no. This is Red Dust Rebellion is from 2024.
Oh.
So it's a long time ago. Shadow Moon Syndicates has been backed already. So it should be delivering this year, supposedly.
Supposedly, but you never know.
But the probability is higher. The probability is higher than if the Kickstarter was starting now or tomorrow. Anyway, this game is it seems to be somehow of a, I'm not entirely sure, I didn't really read the rules, but it seems to be like somehow of the War of Whispers type of game. I might be completely wrong. Eh?
Okay, so meaning that, you know, you are influencing multiple factions.
You're influencing multiple factions with cards that you have, and you can play them on the board, and then the board would change the influence of the different syndicates. Now.
So you would say this conspiracy-like game.
Maybe a conspiracy-like game. It might not be the case. It might be that you are just one boss of one of the syndicates and then you control a specific syndicate. However, I do think that regardless of what's the case, whether you control nobody or you control one, the cards that you play do affect the influence of all of the other syndicates. Depending on the number of players, apparently there's different number of syndicates that you put on the board, and then you're just affecting somehow area majority type of game. I really like his channel. I really like most of the time his opinions about board games. I really like that most of the reviews are like 3 minutes or five or like something very fast. And I tend to agree with what he said. So I'm really interested on seeing a design that by him that is not a coin game. The game looks fantastic. I think the game looks beautiful. I didn't back it, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get to play it. But for sure, it's a game that sounds like would be interesting for us to play. People, or at least the review that is there is from Space Beef. Have you heard about Space Beef there?
Yes.
So that already kind of, to me, gives also a little bit of validity. And they're saying that the game, yeah, it's not perfect, but it's like a pretty solid game. And it has like those cards are really interesting, and the game, the way the game plays,
pretty solid.
I mean, I don't know what exactly
is that,
the review
is going to be.
That's my interpretation.
Your attack on the box. Not perfect, but pretty solid.
I think the game says something like something like the midriff is a little bit weak, but it's a pretty muscular game or something like that.
What on earth does that mean?
Pretty muscular, you know.
It's
beefy.
Yeah, it's those situations where you have a person whose feelings you don't want to hurt, as maybe a fellow content creator. So you say, "Well, it's a muscular game. Sounds good. You're gonna feel good about your game."
Yeah.
Now, does it mean that I'm giving it 2 thumbs up? Well, depends on your interpretation.
Yes,
it's a muscular game.
It's a muscular game, but still looks great. Sounds interesting for up to 5 players. So definitely a game that that I'm looking to try in 2025. Shadow Moon Syndicate.
It says here, what was once a small ragtag mining colony? What's with this sci-fi mining colonies? We had Undaunted.
Calypso.
Yeah, what was the year?
Callisto? 2457, I don't know.
2457, let's go with that. That had to do something with
mining
in
colony,
space.
Yes.
Stellar Ventures. You do mining in that game as well,
mm-hmm.
in space. At least I think so. What's up? Hey, you are much more in tune with the fantasy sci-fi stuff.
Mm.
Is there something happening there at the moment? What is this mining, obsession with mining?
I'm really in tune with fantasy. I'm not that in tune with sci-fi, so I'm probably not. If there's somebody there that likes sci-fi of our listeners, they're going to hate me as much as Cube Rails listeners will hate you. I just think like it's the most logical setting. It's like, hey, why are you in space? Because we're mining mineral. We're mining resources from a different, from another planet. We need resources for our home planet. We need resources too. And what are we going to do? Mine.
That's probably true. I think we have long since gone past the idea of like, hey, we're just going to space.
Yeah.
We're going to live on this planet.
Yeah, no.
We're going to go and do work on this planet. No, it's going to be mining.
Yeah.
And it's going to be not fun.
You don't think it's fun mining?
Do I think it's not fun mining? I think often the fun is not the word associated with mining industry and being in a mine.
But I think like mining is just a setup, right? Like you're really just the syndicates. You're not mining. You're just doing the dark deals in the mining colony.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's just funny that the setting is still,
yeah,
you have to include the mining.
Yeah. But anyway, Shadow Moon Syndicate, that's my number 5. I think it's good that we didn't do any reviews because we have had a lot to talk about at these games that we know very little about. Really excited to look for them. Do we have time to mention a few other games that we look forward to, yeah, Jonas?
So I don't have any other games this time. Last time I was mentioning, or we had this episode where we looked back into our previous list, which games did we end up playing, which ones we didn't. My lightning round was just me listing games that seemed mildly interesting.
Yeah.
Had no real intention of getting. So therefore, this time I didn't do any research for additional games. This is kind of where my list
ends.
Stops.
Yeah.
And ends. After this, everything else is just, well, I don't know. Maybe if someone will set it up on the table for me, give me the teach, yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah. Same. Well, kind of same. At least I have one that I'm really looking forward to, but I have mentioned it already last time. It didn't come. Queen's Dilemma supposedly is coming. Supposedly is in the last stages of production. So really looking forward to that in 2026.
Oh, yeah. One thing I could mention from my previous list, which is Dogs of War, right? That didn't come out. So 2026, is Jonas going to, buy it now? I think, you know what happened? Other new games came in. Just Dogs of War, it's just old news.
But is Dogs of War, did it even made it to crowdfunding?
I think it's going to come out in crowdfunding this year, I would assume.
See? That's why you shouldn't have mentioned it. If he hasn't come out in crowdfunding.
Yeah, but I mentioned it in my previous list, so.
I know, you didn't know. Yeah. You didn't know. Okay. Another one, The Game Makers. I'm pretty sure you have heard about that one.
Game Makers. Isn't that? Oh, okay. That one. So that's the game where you, was it like you collect games or you make
games? You make games. You're the game makers. And there's like, they have so many, I think they have licensed or at least managed to put so many of like actual games on the box.
Yeah. And you make the actual games. Is it so?
I think, yeah.
It's you like are remaking Camel Up?
Yes.
Camel Cup?
I think it's just about the product. It's just like a resource management strategy game where you're like, I think the games themselves are as important as the cocktails in the mix game. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, it doesn't matter. You just have to have these components inside.
Yeah, although this game has 1,000% more plastic in it. Seems to be a much more over-the-top production.
Yes, it has to be. In order to succeed in the today world of board games. Well, actually, not anymore. But anyway, The Game Makers. Game that I would like to play, I probably wouldn't buy at all. I also hate that cover. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would be interested if somebody else has it.
I mean, the cover is covers of other games.
Yeah, but in a kind of tacky way. I don't know. Looks like container.
Yeah. There is this weird feeling that comes from the cover of I'm putting a game into my shelf that has the pictures of the other games in my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, but it's not in this very fun way either. It doesn't feel like this Russian doll thingy at all of like, hey, these are the games.
Yeah, no.
It's more like, oh, I need to find a place for these games as well. Should I sell that game?
Yeah.
There's baggage that comes from owning a physical game. And I feel that this cover is just all about the baggage.
Yeah. Plus, it looks like really bad Photoshop. I don't know. Anyway, a game about making games definitely sounds interesting. Would be interesting as a game historian that I am to explore.
Mm-hmm. It's contemporary history being made in 2026.
Exactly. Another game that I heard about, but I couldn't find any information, not even in Board Game
Geek. I'm excited about this game. So you heard about the game. However, zero information.
Just somebody put it out there that it's coming out.
Yeah.
Kabuto Sumo Dice. Have you played Kabuto Sumo?
No, I haven't. But that's the one where you push wooden things to drop other wooden things. I'm not saying this in any kind of sarcastic manner. I think Kabuto Sumo is a game that I would probably really enjoy playing.
Yeah, probably you would.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary game. It's very simple. I've played it several times with a friend. But Kabuto Sumo Dice, the person that described it is like a mix of Kabuto Sumo, which is enjoyable. It's like the straight game with Strike. And just saying that is like, huh, tell me more. Tell me you're not intrigued.
So I wonder who said it, because it's coming from Allplay.
Yes. Right?
And I can't remember if this person is the creative director of Allplay or the CEO of Allplay, but in any sense, but he is in charge of a lot of the games.
Yeah.
And he has had a couple of talks with someone from Bytewink Games. They tried to do like a podcast at some point. I hope it's going to continue because I found those conversations super interesting.
Okay.
Because it's two people in the industry talking about how is it actually like to get art from Vincent to trade. Apparently, it's really hard.
Okay.
Now, but they had also an episode about pitching games. And the Allplay guy said that he is looking for the better Strike.
Mm.
I think he has said something that he wants to, you know, he has said to some designers that, hey, bring me Strike. But better.
Yeah.
And when you said this description, I'm like, yeah, probably had that pitch. And then someone tried to pitch it as Strike. That, hey, this is...
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but the person that said it is a... I don't remember that. I've seen their channel a little bit. I don't follow them very well. It's a couple in Canada, I think. One of them too. By reading Board Game Wire, I found out that they are working as the marketing director. Off.
I'm doing a Google search for Kabuto Sumo Dice. There's zero hits.
Yes, that's what I said. Like, I tried to find stuff. I couldn't find anything, any mention. But this person called Ilya Ushakov, who is part of the Kovra YouTube channel, who apparently, according to Board Game Wire, used to be a marketing director for Incredible Dream, which is a board game company, and now is the marketing director at Dread City Games, which published Wonder Woman Wars, is the person that said it in their channel. They had like a big ass list of games that are coming out in 2026. And as a passing mention, he mentioned Kabuto Sumo Dice. I really, if I had found stuff about Kabuto Sumo Dice, it would have made it to my list.
Yeah, I found a BGG newsletter from 2025 where they talk about Kabuto Sumo Dice.
Okay.
Coming in Q2 2026.
See? But they had said nothing about it.
It says here, if you played Strike, you'll have a starting point for this design in which you throw dice into an enclosed arena. Then things happen.
Interesting. Things happen. There you go.
But it really seems that the All Play guy finally found his version of Strike.
Yeah. And might it be better? We don't know. But at least it's interesting.
It's a tall order to do better than Strike.
But
I will be very happy if that ends up happening.
Me too. And I'm looking forward to it. And the last game that I want to mention is Blood Rage Valhalla. Though, will it come out?
Yeah.
We don't know. Will it make it? It made it to the list. I'm not sure what's the status of that. I'm not sure if it's coming to direct to retail. I never saw anything about the crowdfunding, but honestly, because I was not going to talk about it in this episode, besides like just mentioning it here.
Yeah.
I didn't find out more. So I'm not sure if there was a crowdfunding or it was just direct to consumer.
Maybe there was a crowdfunding. It just seemed to be the worst kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Cash grab?
No, not cash grab. The audience feedback, the worst reaction is that that's not even the word I'm looking for. It just seemed to have their worst initial reaction.
Backlash. Backslash.
Backlash.
Backslash.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe something like that. Just in plain English, people were mad. People didn't like the map. People didn't like the publisher, Tycoon Games, and other things, I'm assuming as well. And, you know, some people like me don't even like Blood Rage that much.
Is not Cool Mini or Not?
No, this is Tycoon Games. Blood Rage was one of these things that Cool Mini or Not has sold due to its, I'm not saying it's due to financial strains. I'm just saying that
they have sold a lot of things. In Board Game Wire, they just had a report also recently about how Cool Mini or Not is struggling. The good thing though, or at least kudos to them, is that I honestly believe that they're trying to make it work. I honestly believe
Cool Mini or Not people, or Blood Rage Valhalla.
No, Blood Rage Valhalla. Now I'm talking about Cool Mini or Not.
Okay.
But, I mean, Blood Rage Valhalla, interesting to somebody buys it. I would like to play it. Interested to 2026. Now I was talking about Cool Mini or Not. But maybe now is not the time near.
Yeah, but I do have to say one thing about Cool Mini or Not and also Phalanx Games, because I was being flippant about their current status. But in reality, I know that if you are in such a, you know, financial situation in a company, it's really not fun.
No.
It's a lot of kind of like personal stress. And I'm pretty sure that these people are still trying to make it work. Maybe they, you know, bit too much, but still, I'm pretty sure that there's no kind of, what's the word? You know, these things don't seem like scams, first of all. It just seems, you know, happens.
It seems mismanaged. I do believe that there's some sort of like mismanagement, like things spin out of control too fast.
Yeah, yeah. But
I do agree with you. Like, I think it's not ill intent.
Exactly. Ill intent. Yeah. No ill intent. And honestly, I do wish that they are able to, both of these companies are able to pull it together.
Me too.
Especially Phalanx. Because honestly, I do think that those game campaigns and those games do seem super interesting.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Good luck to them. And that was it. Those are the games that we're looking forward in 2026. I hope we got you interested in some of those games and you get to play them. Let us know if you ever play them, either here or in the comment section of your favorite podcast platform. We want to thank you for your time. Our next episode is airing in 2 weeks or thereabouts. In the meantime, you can visit boardgameok.com for more information about the show.
Moi moi.